Today we have the privilege of studying Yeshaya Perek Nuntet, chapter 59. This chapter is the ideological continuation of chapter 58, which we read yesterday. Yesterday's chapter 58, which is the Haftarah for Yom Kippurim, deals with the idea that God will listen and will return to the Jewish people and will redeem them if the Jewish people will fulfill certain mitzvot which God commands. The two mitzvot which were cited in chapter 58 were the mitzvah of Shabbat, as representing the panoply of mitzvot ben Adam lemakom, and the mitzvah of not hurting other people, as representing a series of mitzvot ben Adam lechavero. Today, we look at chapter 59, which contains a somewhat different approach to the question, how does one achieve divine attention? How does one reach the point of redemption? How does one allow God to help the Jewish people in an active and emphatic way? In chapter 58, this idea of God helping the Jewish people was expressed by the pasuk Azi baka kashachar orecha. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. In today's chapter, chapter 59, that idea of God returning to the Jewish people and having a relationship with them and redeeming them and bringing the Geula is expressed by two psukim, which we know from Tefillah. The first, Uval Tzion Goel, Ulushave Fesha Biakov Nu'um Hashem, Va'ani Zot Briti Otam Amar Hashem, Ruchi Asher Alecha Udvar Ayesha Samti Bificha, Lo Yamushu Mipicha Umipizaracha, These two psukim are quite famous. They are chapters verses 20 and 21 in our perek, and they are the verses with which we begin the Uval Tzion prayer. And they speak about God redeeming the Jewish people and establishing his covenant with them forever. The question is, how do we achieve that? Yesterday's perek was about achieving that by means of repentance. Today's chapter is about achieving that by means of God's mercy and concern for the Jewish people, which trumps the Jewish people's sins. It is Geulah by means of divine action rather than bringing Geulah by means of human actions. It is, to use the Hasidic terminology, it is the Itoruta de'ilai, the awakening from above, which follows the awakening from below, about which we read in yesterday's Perek. So with that in mind, let us now begin Perek Nuntet, chapter 59. The perek begins with the premise which permeates the entire perek, the idea that God is infinitely capable. God is omnipotent. Pasuk Aleph. Hen lo katzra yad Hashem mehoshia. God's hand is not incapable of saving. This is the premise. Indeed, God's hand is not incapable of saving. God's hand literally is not too short to save. Representing in a metaphorical sense, God's power is not too limited. God can save. Velo chavda ozno mishmoa. Not only is God capable of saving, God is also capable of listening. God's ear is not too thick to hear. God is capable of listening to the pleas of the Jewish people and of responding to them. Well, that's a very wonderful idea, but God in fact is not responding to the pleas of the Jewish people. Why is that? Why is God not responding? Pasuk Bet addresses that issue. Ki im avonoteichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein Eloheichem. V'chatoteichem hisiru fanim mikem mishemoa. It is your sins which have been separating between you and your God, and your iniquities which have caused him to hide his face from you and not listen to you. So that it is the iniquities of the Jewish people that have caused God to cease to pay attention to their pleas. The next series of psukim from Gimel all the way until Pasuk Yudalit from chapter verse 3 until verse 14 deals with the issue of the sins of the Jewish people. And we will read some of these psukim, although not all of them. So beginning with Pasuk 3, Pasuk Gimel. Ki chapechem negoalu vadam ve'etzbeotechem be'avon. Siftotechem dibru sheker, leshonachem avla tehge. Your hands have been dirtied with blood, your fingers with sin, your lips speak falsehood, your tongue meditates on words of harm. So in other words, this sort of metonymy or synecdoche, where all the various parts of the body are brought together here, all the various parts of the human body are all participating in doing evil. Bloodshed, sin, falsehood, and words of harm. This idea that it is the totality of the people, not only the totality of the individual who is participating in sin, is expressed in Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Ein kore v'tzedek ve'ein nishpat be'emuna. No one is calling out for righteousness. No one is participating in judgment in truth. In other words, whether it is the complainants and defendants in the judgment, or whether it is the judges, they are all participating in an act of falsehood. Batoach al tohu v'daber shav haro amal v'yoholed aven. Relying on nothingness and speaking vanity, becoming pregnant with amal, here indicating sin, and giving birth to iniquity, aven. So it is this, again, this imagery of relying on falsehood, speaking vanity, and then giving birth to nothingness, that is permeating all levels of the Jewish people, to whom the prophet addresses this prophecy, indicating to them their sins. The next several psukim use that imagery of the people being totally immersed in falsehood and develop it further. Beitzei tzifoni bikeu, v'kurei akavishya erogu, ha'ochel mi beitzei ham yamut, v'hazure tibaka efe. They have birthed, or they have laid, bikeu means to separate from the body, they have laid eggs of vipers, and they have woven spider webs. The idea that there is a series of actions of falsehood which the people have prepared, which have led to a sort of falsehood permeating all strata of society, and this is represented in their giving birth to vipers, their weaving spider webs. The idea of the viper, something that harms, the spider web, something that is totally unstable. Falsehood is both harmful and unstable. Continuing the pasuk, ha'ochem beitzehem yamut, one who eats these viper's eggs will die, v'hazure tibaka efeh. That is a very difficult phrase, hazure tibaka efeh, which seems to refer to when the egg breaks, what comes out is a small snake. Efeh here referring to a small, vicious snake. What about the spider webs? Pasuk vav, kurehem lo yiyu leveged, v'lo yitkasu b'ma'asehem, ma'asehem ma'aseh aven, ufo al chamas b'chapehem. Their webs cannot become a garment. They will not be able to cover themselves with their deeds. In other words, their deeds would not be something that they would want to envelop themselves in. Their deeds are unstable, are invisible, like the emperor's new clothes. They seem perhaps to be positive, but they are in fact negative. They are false. They are spider webs weaving. Their deeds are deeds of sin, and what is in their hands is the payment for violent actions. Po'al chamas is here po'al in the sense of action, but also payment for action. What they have in their hands is payment for violent actions, which is not something that with which one can build a stable society. Raglehem la'ra yarutzu v'maharu lishpoch dam naki. Their legs run to falsehood, and they quickly spill innocent blood. Machshavotehem machshavot aven shod v'shever b'msilotam. Their thoughts are thoughts of sin. Destruction and woe is in their paths. And this idea of destruction and woe is in their paths indicates that as one goes from town to town on the roads, from city to city, what one sees along the sides is destruction that is the result of the falsehood and the dissimulation that characterizes the people's actions. And that idea that falsehood leads to destruction is expressed in the next several psukim, where the image of the road is used repeatedly. Pasuk Chet. Derech shalom lo yada'u, ve'ein mishpat b'ma'aglotam. A way of peace they do not know, there is no justice in their inner paths. Ma'agal here seems to refer to the inner path, the circular path that encircles a town. The idea that the roads are the roads that lead from town to town, but once one gets to a town is quite small, and there's a circular path that goes around it, that is the Ma'agal. So, Derech Shalom Layadau and Mishpat Ma'aglotan, they don't know ways of peace. Why? Because there is no justice in their towns. Nitivotehem Ikeshu Lahem, their roads are stubborn for them, and Ikesh also means crooked for them. Their roads are crooked for them. Why are their roads crooked? Not because of the geography, but because it's representative of their actions. It's called Dorech Ba Lo Yada Shalom. Anyone who steps on their roads is someone who is not interested in peace. And here the idea of peace, peace is presented as the direct result of justice. Justice leads to peace. And it is by a sort of just actions to, and honest actions to other members of society that one achieves social peace. As a result of this, al ken rachak mishpat mimenu, velo tasigehu tzedaka, nekavela or vihine choshek lingohot ba'afelot nehalech. Now these psukim, starting with pasuk tet, seem to describe not the practice of lack of justice, but the lack of justice that results from the people's actions. So what is that justice? It is divine justice that is far from them. What is divine justice? God's vindicating the people and rewarding the people for their status as members of the Jewish people, and giving them the redemption which they as Jews deserve. So that is far away from them. Here, therefore, mishpat is far from them. Ve'lo tasigenu tzedaka, and tzedaka will not reach them. Here, mishpat and tzedaka seem to refer to God's vindication, God's justice, in the sense of his paying the people what he kivyachol owes them, in the sense of redemption. God is not paying the people, not giving the people redemption. Why? Because they do not have social peace. Why do they not have social peace? Because they are acting unjustly one to the other. Nekavela or, continuing pasuk 9, nekavela or v'nei choshech, we hope for light, behold it is darkness, lingohot ba'afilot nehalech. We hope for brightness, nigohot, is a plural of noga, brightness, but in fact, ba'afelot nahalech, we walk in darkness. This idea of us walking in darkness is expressed in the next three or four psukim. Negashashacha ivrim kir, we try to touch the walls like a blind man. Ucha'en einayim negashesha, and we try to make our way by feeling things, like someone who has no eyes. Kashalnu v'tzahoraim kaneshef, we fail or we stumble at noon, as though it were nighttime. In other words, we're virtually blind. Ba'ashmanim kameitim. Ba'ashmanim kameitim is slightly more difficult and seems to refer to people who are shuman, who have sort of healthy fat bodies, are like the dead. This idea that people, this is not a plea for Weight Watchers, but rather an expression of people who in principle should be successful, who should be able to see their way through the day, and who should be able to be physically healthy, are unable to succeed in anything because of the lack of divine assistance. That lack of divine assistance, again, is the result of lack of social peace, which is itself the result of a lack of honesty and truthfulness among the people. Now, where should the light come from? The light should come from divine assistance. It's for that reason they have no light. They are trying to make their way through by motion, by touching things, and that's obviously a less easy way to get around than seeing is. And that idea that they're in fact hoping for God's salvation is expressed even more forcefully in Pasuk 11, and then again in Pasuk 12. Pasuk 11, Nehemecha dubim kulanu v'chayonim hago nehege. We call out, we moan like bears, all of us, and we speak like pigeons or doves. this idea of expressing longing, expressing hope, this moaning cry of a dove or this call of a bear. What is it that we are hoping for? Nikavela mishpat va'ain lishua rachaka mimenu. We hope for justice, it is not there. For salvation, it is far from us. And based on this pasuk, I explained earlier that in pasuk 9, that the mishpat and the tzedakah refer to divine mishpat and tzedakah, and I think that is very clear here. We hope for justice, we hope for divine salvation. Neither of those are easily attainable if they are far away from us. Pasuk 12, Ki rabu fisha'enu negdecha v'chatotenu antabanu. Our sins are multitudinous before you, and our iniquities have borne witness against us. Kifsha'enu itanu va'avanotenu yida'um. Our sins are with us, and our iniquities, we know them. So this refers back to the very second pasuk of this parak, the idea that it is our sins that are dividing us from God, that are preventing us from receiving divine salvation. This idea is expressed repeatedly in verses 13, 14, the idea that it is lying that is preventing us from having a good relationship with God. And now we move on to pasuk 15. Vatihi ha'emet ne'ederet v'sar me'ra mishtolel. Truth is absent. V'sar me'ra mishtolel. One who seeks to distance oneself from evil is also self-negated. Mishtolel here, refer from the word lishlol, negative, mishtolel in the reflexive binyan of hitpael, sar meira mishtolel, one who is removed himself from evil, is absent. Vayar Hashem vayera be'enav, God sees this, and it is evil in his eyes because that there is no justice. So the idea of lack of justice is what is causing God to act in a way that one would expect to result in punishment. And up to now, it has, in fact, resulted in punishment. And yet, God decides at a certain point, and we're about to get to that point, God decides that it is not appropriate to continue to punish the people. The total evil of the people results in the decision by God to redeem the people. Pasuk 16. Vayar ki ein ish, vayosh ishtomem ki ein mafgia. God sees that there is no man. He is astounded that there is no one who pleads with him. Now this can be taken in several ways. Vayar ki ein ish, he sees that there's no one to save the Jewish people. But it can also mean he sees that there's no one doing justice. The Jewish people are so totally immersed in falsehood that God decides, okay, I've got to help them. Vayishtomem ki ein mafgia, there is no one praying to him. Why is there no one praying to him? Perhaps because the Jewish people have given up hope of redemption. It's a very difficult concept, but the idea that somehow the giving up hope results in God entering into the fray. Vayishtomem ki ein mafgia here. Vatosha lo zro'o v'tzidkato hismachatnu. What God decides to do is to use his arm, kivyachol, his arm indicates his power, v'tzidkato and his vindication. It is that upon that he will rely. In other words, God says, I can't rely on the Jewish people. I will rely, therefore, on my power. And God comes forth in power in Pasuk 17, in languages which is repeated to Prakim later. Vayilbash tzedaka kasher yon v'chova yeshua b'rosho vayilbash bigdei nakam tilboshet vayyat kame'il kin'ah. God wears victory like a mail coat, mail, M-I-A-L coat, coat of armor. So God wears victory like a coat of armor, and a helmet of salvation is upon his head. He wears clothing of nakam, of vengeance, as a costume. He cloaks zeal like a cloak. It's the idea of God coming and acting with vindication, with vengeance, with great zeal to save the Jewish people. But it is not only to save the Jewish people. Ke'al gmulot ke'al yeshalem chema letzarav gmul lo'ivav la'iyim gmul yeshalem. This is the constructs in this pasuk are quite difficult, but it refers to the idea of gmul, of kamiapins, God punishing the evil, paying back the enemies with his wrath, Gimul lo'evav, kamiapins for his enemies, even unto the utmost isles, la'iyim, gimul yishalem. To them too he will pay kamiapins. He will demand retribution. He will punish the evil ones. Pasuk 19, the idea of this being overarching and universal. They will see from the west the name of God. In other words, they will see God acting to glorify his name. They will see God acting in a way that punishes the evil oppressors of the Jews, and perhaps the evil Jews themselves, and which vindicates the right, which vindicates the Jewish people as a whole. And from the east they will see his glory. I think we have to understand this as God coming like a narrow river. What is the idea of a narrow river? A narrow river is a river that flows swiftly. Not like the broad rolling Mississippi, but like a river that has a narrow channel. And so there's more water in it, more pressure. So there's more water in the water is flowing with higher pressure because there's less space for the water. So it comes like this rushing river. Ruach Hashem Nosasabo, the wind of God, the spirit of God flying above this river. Nosasami Lashon Nes here. And what will happen at this point? Uval Tzion Goel Ulushave Fesha Biakov Neum Hashem. To Zion shall come a redeemer. To those who turn away from sin in Yaakov, says God. So there is an element here of the Jewish people needing to do tshuva, but it is the tshuva is provoked by God's actions of vengeance, vindication, and zeal, because the redemption comes pasuk kaf, which describes the redemption, describes the beginning of the process of tshuva, becomes after God has already acted, an action which we see several pasukim earlier. In Pasuk 17, 18, 19, God acting with these clothes of vengeance, these clothes of victory, to save the Jewish people. The concluding Pasuk 21, Va'ani zot briti otam amar Hashem. This is my covenant with them, says God. Ruchi asher alecha, udvarai asher samti beficha. My spirit which is upon you, my words which I place in your mouth. Lo yamushu mipicha, will not depart from your mouth. Umipi zaracha, umipi zera zaracha amar Hashem. Nor will they depart from the mouths of your children or their children, says God, forever and ever. And I will just conclude by repeating that very last pasuk, which is a key point in this parak. How does one ensure that this redemption will not be ephemeral? Va'ani zot briti otam amar Hashem. This is my covenant with them, says God. Ruchi asher alecha udvarai asher samti beficha lo yamushu mipicha umipi zaracha umipi zera zaracha amar Hashem. My covenant, my words which are upon you, my spirit which is upon you, Ruchi asher alecha, my spirit which is upon you, and the words that I have placed in your mouth will not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouths of your descendants, nor from the mouths of their descendants, says God, me'ata ve'ad olam, forever and ever. This is the key message of this paperek, which begins with the idea of sins dividing us from God, and concludes with the idea that it is through an effort to ensure that the word of God that it is in our mouth does not depart from our descendants, that we will achieve the everlasting covenant which God promises here.